Happy Sunday. The content of this program is intended for a blind and print-impaired audience. Hello, my name is Jim DeJunis. I'm reading to you from the North Carolina Reading Service. The name of our program is called Reflections. And for the next 30 minutes, we're going to be studying Scripture from the Holy Bible, as well as a prayer and a daily reflection from a book called Jesus Calling, written by Sarah Young. As we do every Sunday, I'd like to start us with prayer. But today is a special day. Today is May 9th, and it is Mother's Day 2021. I'd like to have a shout-out for all the mothers in the audience and all those who have mothers, living and deceased. Let us, Father, lift up the mothers in our lives, our biological and non-biological mothers, those who care for us and love us like you love us, Father. We pray for them, we pray on them, and we pray with them. They may be comforted and loved. They may be respected and taken care of. May they find comfort in your Son, Jesus. And Father, let us make sure that they know about you and the love you can provide each and every one of them and each and every one of us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So happy Mother's Day, mothers. Sarah Young writes today, "Don't be so hard on yourself. I bring good even out of your mistakes. Your finite minds tends to look backward, longing to undo decisions that you may have come to regret. This is a waste of time and energy, leading only to frustration. Instead of floundering in the past, release your mistakes to me. Look to me in trust, anticipating that my infinite creativity can weave both good choices and bad into a lovely design. Because you are human, you will continue to make mistakes. Thinking that you should live an error-free life is symptomatic of pride. Your failures can be a source of blessing, humbling you and giving you empathy for one another and their weakness. Best of all, failure highlights your dependence on me. I am able to bring beauty out of the morass of your mistakes. Trust me and watch to see what I will do." A couple of scripture readings supporting this today. Romans 8:28, one of my favorite scriptures. "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." I'm going to read that again. "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." And then Micah 7:7 reads, "But as for me, I watch and hope for the Lord. I wait for God my Savior. My God will hear me." You know, great lesson today from Sarah Young. Don't be so hard on yourself. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. And I reflect upon, a couple months ago we were reading Genesis, and the last 10 or 12 chapters of Genesis is about Joseph. And Joseph being sold by his brothers to some Egyptians, and he winds up in Egypt. He's in jail. And over time, and through his constant faith and dependence on God through this entire time, he becomes the number two person in Egypt, and he's able to help the his family, Jacob and his other 11 brothers, to live, because there was a famine, and Joseph had the wherewithal and had the intuition from God to save all this food so that Egypt could be a big power and so forth and so on. But my point is this, is here is a 17-year-old boy sold into slavery, put in prison for years and years and years, and he becomes the number two person in the most important country in the world at the time. And he saves the Israeli people and brings them to prosperity in numbers. And 400 years later, Moses calls them out of Egypt on God's command. So even when things look really bad for us, God uses them for good. And they're always for his glory, always for his glory. Well, on this Mother's Day, we're going to read some scripture today that we've read probably about a year and a half ago. The Apostle John, of course, wrote the Gospel of John, and he wrote several other books in the New Testament. He wrote Revelations, of course, but he also wrote three very small books, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. And if you were to describe that those books with one word, that word would be love. And as I was reflecting upon Mother's Day myself, I can't think of a better word to have for my mother, who passed 4.5 years ago, or for my wife and the fact that she's a wonderful mother to my children, or for my daughter, who's the mother to a wonderful mother to her son, and your mothers and your sisters who are mothers, or your daughters who are mothers, and so off, so forth and so on. So we're going to read from John 1, 2, 3, and if we have time, we'll read from the book of Jude. Jude is a another brother of Jesus, a biological brother of Jesus, just like James. We've read James before. I don't think we've read Jude, but if we have some time, we will certainly do that. So 1 John, I want to kind of first do a little reading, setting up these chapters. A good man, yes, perhaps one of the best men who ever lived, but just a man, say many. Others disagree, claiming that he suffered from delusions of grandeur and Messiah complex. And the argument rages over the true identity of this man called Jesus. Suggestions have ranged from simple teacher to egomaniac to misguided fool. Whoever he was, all would agree that Jesus left his mark on history. Hearing these discussions, even Christians can begin to wonder and doubt, is Jesus really God? Did he come to save sinners like us? Does God really care about me? 1 John was written to dispel doubts and to build assurances by presenting a clear picture of Christ. Entering history, Jesus was and is God in the flesh and God in focus, seen, heard, and touched by the author of this letter, John the Apostle. John walked and talked with Jesus, saw him heal, heard him teach, watched him die, met him arisen, and saw him ascend. John knew God. He had lived with him. He had seen him work. And John enjoyed fellowship with the Father, the Son, all the days of his life. The elder statesman in the church, John wrote this letter to his dear children. In it, he presents God as light, as love, and as life. He explained in simple and practical terms what it means to have fellowship with God. At the same time, false teachers have entered the church, denying the incarnation of Christ. John wrote to correct that very serious error. So John's letter is a model for us to follow as we combat modern heresies. John opens his letter by presenting his credentials as an eyewitness of the incarnation and by stating his reasoning for writing. He then presents God as a light, symbolizing absolute purity and holiness, and he explains how believers can walk in the light and have fellowship with God. If they do sin, Christ is their defender. John urges them to obey Christ fully and to love all the members of God's family. He warns his readers of Antichrist and the Antichrist who will try to lead them away from the truth. In the next section, John presents God as love, giving, dying, forgiving, and blessing. God is love, and because God loves, he calls his children and makes us like Christ. The truth should motivate us to live close to him. We can be sure of our family relationship with God when our lives are filled with good deeds and love for others. Again, John warns that false teachers who will twist the truth. We should reject these false teachers as we continue to live in God's love. In the last section, God presents God as life. God's life is in his Son. To have his Son is to have eternal life. Do you know God? Do you know Christ? Do you know that you have eternal life? 1 John was written to help you know the reality of God in your life through faith in Christ, to assure that you have eternal life and to encourage you to remain in fellowship with God, who is the light and love. Read this letter written by one overwhelmed by God's love and renewed confidence. Pass this love letter on to others. So again, the purpose of the books of John are to reassure Christians in their faith and to counter false teachings. The author, again, is the Apostle John. And the audience, the original audience, the letter is untitled. It was not written to any particular church. It was sent as a pastoral letter to several Gentile congregations. And the book was these books were written between 85 and 90 A.D., and they were probably written from the area of Ephesus. So let's jump in. Chapter 1, 1 John. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testify to it. We proclaim it to you, the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may also have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. Those are just remarkably encouraging words. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. Wow, that is awesome. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him to be out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. My dear children, this is chapter 2, my dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ. So let me be very clear. We all sin. There is not a person ever born other than Jesus Christ that has not sinned. We are born into natural sin. Adam, sin, gave us sin from the time we are born. Make no defense about it. We are all sinners, every last one of us. So I'm going to start with chapter 2 again. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The one who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know that we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. Great lesson here. Great lesson here. He's not asking us to be perfect. What he's asking us to do is admit that we're sinners, confess our sins, repent of those sins, and then follow Christ. And there will be stumbling blocks along the way. We will falter. We will fall. But Christ does not leave us. He will help us up if we're sincere. If our hearts are truly with him, he will help us and he will save us. And that's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful thing. Dear friends, I am not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have heard since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard. Yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. He who does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded him. I write to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven, and on account of his name. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, dear children, because you have known the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Do not love the world. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in this world, the cravings of sinful men, the lust of his eyes, the boasting of what he does and of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. But the one who does the will of God lives forever. And that will, again, is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and soul. And by doing so, you're accepting Christ as your Savior. Warning against the Antichrist. Dear children, this is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us, but their going showed that none of them belonged to us. But you have nothing, but you are an anointing from the Holy One, and you all know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Who is the liar? Is it the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ? Such a man is the Antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. See that what we have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you will also remain in the Father and in the Son. And this is what he has promised us, even eternal life. I am writing these things to you and those who are trying to lead you against those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you receive from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as the anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as I have taught you, remain in him. God is love. And now, dear children, continue in him, so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him in his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of him. Chapter 3. How great is the love of the Father? How great the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that this is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins. That is Christ's purpose in our lives. Christ is here because we are sinners. Christ is for us. Jesus loves us. God loves us so much that instead of just flailing into hell, he sent his Son to save us. And that's why that is the ultimate demonstration of his love for us. He did not want us just to go on without him. He saved us. He sent a Savior into the world for us to believe in, so that we may have communion with him. And that Savior, again, is Jesus Christ. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins. And in him is no sin. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who is born of God will continue to sin, because God's seed remains in him. He cannot go on sinning because he has been born of God. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love is his brother. I want to kind of revisit this a little bit. There is sinning, and then there's living in sin. And this verse here, these verses here, are really talking about living in sin. So once you become a Christian, once you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, sincerely, you have committed or you have repented and have turned from sin, from a life of sin. That is not to say you will not sin again. You will certainly sin again. What John is speaking here is living in sin. If you have Christ in you, you should not live in sin. And a life of sin might be a life of addiction or a life of abuse or a life of pornography or a life of infidelity or anything that is you're worshiping above him. But you will sin. You'll speed. You'll call someone a nasty name. You'll have an ill feeling towards somebody. Those are sins. And we need to ask for forgiveness of those. But you can still be a child of God in that regard. Loving one another. This is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. We do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. Do not be surprised, my brothers, if the world hates you. We know that you have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. If anyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life in him, this is how we know that what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for other brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love the words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. This then is how we know that we belong to the truth, and how we have set our hearts at rest in his presence whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask, because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he has commanded us. And we learn that here in 1 John chapter 4. We've learned that in Matthew. We've learned that in Mark. Those who obey his commands live in him and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. Chapter 4. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now has already come in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world, and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever does not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. God's love in ours. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Wow. I'm going to reread chapter 4, verse 10. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God has so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. Just beautiful words from John. Beautiful, beautiful words. I am just overcome. We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us his Spirit, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Chapter 5. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. Again, I'm going to repeat that. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. This is the love for God, to obey his commands. And his commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. So we're here in chapter 5 in the first John. If you remember last week, while we were still in Exodus, there was a lot of direction, a lot of commands, a lot of instruction. And all that instruction boils down to these very simple words. We are to love God. Back then, there was no Savior. It was God trying to show them that they were sinful people. And I don't have enough time to go into all that today, but please take my word for it. God is love. And if we're in him, we have his love, which is Christ Jesus. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And the three are in agreement. We accept man's testimony, but God's testimony is greater, because it is the testimony of God, which he has given about his Son. Anyone who believes in the Son of God has the testimony in his heart. Anyone who does not believe God has made him out to be a liar, because he has not believed the testimony God has given about his Son. And this is the testimony: God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have it when we ask him. If anyone sees his brother commit a sin that does not lead to death, he should pray, and God will give him life. I refer to those whose sin does not lead to death. This is a sin that leads to death. I am not saying that you should not pray about it. All wrongdoing is sin, and there is sin that does not lead to death. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who is born of God keeps him safe, and the evil one cannot harm him. We know that we are children of God, and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. We know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, even his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Amen and amen. Thank you for listening to us. We've run out of time for today's episode of Reflections. Please wish your mothers a very happy Mother's Day. And may God bless you, them, and everyone you love this day. Peace.